Very good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are people who feel that they should not attend church camp because their experience had been whenever they attend the camp, they feel very spiritually high for that week. And after they return back home to their day-to-day existence, back home to work life, to family life, to school life, they go back to their old ways. And because of this disheartening, disappointing experience, they feel that it might well be no camp for me. What is the point? The life in Christ that they receive, the challenges, they don't seem to last. The strength in holiness or in the obedience to any portion of God's word must not lie in us. Some of us have very strong willpower. Others have willpower that are not that strong. It is not by the will of man nor by the strength of man that we are able to obey the word of God. It is always by the strength of God. There is no way that we can keep living a life of holiness without God's enabling. If you ever attempt to try, you will probably say the words of that person, what is the point? It's only a spiritual high for that moment, and after we go back, it's back to our old ways. I pray that that is not going to be our experience, but that this life of holiness that you desire to have, and I pray that you will want to, as a child of God, for the sake of Christ, it will sustain you, not only for the next year before the next camp, but for the rest of your sojourn on this earth. Day by day, trusting in the Lord, and the Lord will give us the necessary strength. And that's how the Apostle Paul will conclude this very short epistle. He says in verse 23 that it is through God and God alone that we are made holy and kept holy. And as long as you understand, consciously acknowledging that is God who will see you through day by day. And before you know it, you will experience how God has seen you through the entire week, and then the entire month, and then the entire year, and the rest of your life. This is how the Apostle Paul says, the very God of peace sanctified, that is, made you holy. Holy. Made you holy completely, thoroughly. God of peace. Why did Paul choose this particular attribute of God? Why call it God of peace? He could have used many, many nouns to describe him. But why did he pick peace? Perhaps that's what we need the most. Grace and peace be to all of us. And this is how he's going to conclude. Remember how this epistle began? Grace and peace. And now he will say grace and peace, but in the reverse. The grace will be in verse 8, the peace will be in verse 23. Because that's what we need in our lives, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that is able to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he is the God of peace. The peace of God, guard our hearts, given to us by the God of peace. That's what we need. You go back home, trials will suddenly return. The burdens that you left behind just to attend this camp will immediately return the moment you cross the causeway. And it's not going to dissipate or disappear. But never, never forget that you do not walk this journey alone. Your life of holiness cannot come from your own strength. It has to come from the God of peace. And so Paul tells us he is the one who will make us holy thoroughly and completely. During the Mandarin messages, they asked me, can a person be more holy? What does it mean? Is there such a thing as more holy? As I mature in the faith, can I become more holy? And that got me thinking, because holiness is an absolute term. Either you have it or you don't. So is it real to use the term more holy? So what does Paul mean when he says, I will make you holy completely, thoroughly? And I guess, and I believe the reply is simply this. Your life and my life can be compartmentalized into church life, family life, school life, work life. And then you can also include siblings, including perhaps your enemy life, your life with your enemy or the enemies with you. These are all the many different compartments or areas of our lives. And when the Bible says, make us more holy, perhaps this is what it means. I may be right with God in terms of a holy life in my church life. Let's say I put in all the energy to prepare my sermon, to be the best teacher I possibly could, and to relate to all of you very well. And so my church life is holy before God. But if my relationship with my spouse, my wife, with Angie, it's a mess. We do not talk much. We quarrel constantly. We do not say sorry. We do not forgive one another. And so that aspect of my life is not holy. I do not spend enough time with my children. And so our relationship is also strained. And so that part is also not holy. But my relationship with my siblings, my brothers, my sisters, it's fine. It's healthy. I share the word of God with them whenever I could. So it's holy before God. Even with my enemies, I practice biblical separation. These are the enemies of God, nothing to do with them. My enemies, I will continue to show them love, kindness, good works, hoping that they may see Christ in me. So it is also holy. But there are two areas of my life that needs to be made right. And I believe that's exactly what it means when the Apostle Paul says, God will sanctify us using the word of God through the indwelling of the Spirit of God. He will sanctify every area of our lives, which would include the relationships that we have, the attitude that we need to have. You and I have different areas that need sanctification. Little by little, make sure that all areas are holy before God. Remember, holiness is either you have it or you don't. The moment you sin and you let sin remain, that holiness is gone. If in the ministry, I may not have it today, but if I begin to prepare sermons in a slothful manner and I do not give my best in preparing every sermon, I lose it. And I have to repent of my sin in order to gain it back. And I believe that's exactly what you and I need to do in order to remind ourselves that this life of holiness is not an impossibility, but a reality that God wants all of us to have. So inspect and check every compartment or area of your lives, your relationships with your possessions, with people, your attitude toward your job, your enemies, your family, your areas of service. All these have now got to be put under the searchlight of God's truth, because God of peace wants to sanctify and make every area of our lives complete. And Paul says, and I pray God, your whole spirit, your whole body, even soul and body, every part of you, your inner being and your outward being, your thinking, your motivation, every part, Paul says, he prayed that God will preserve it blameless. That means no area of our lives must bring shame to him. God will preserve it. And once you have it, God will keep it and maintain it, sustain it. That is why that person who experienced a spiritual high during the camp and then go back to the doldrum has been misinformed. That should not be the norm. That had been the experience because you have forgotten to live your life based upon God's strength, God's enabling. It is through God alone, not God and us, mixed together. It is God and God alone who will sanctify every area of our lives completely, and God will preserve this inside and outside of our lives until when? The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beyond the next church camp, beyond our lifetime, the Lord Jesus Christ returns right until glorification. In other words, God promised. Now the question is, God has shown us your life of holiness is through him. Can you trust him? that it is in God alone, not only through Him alone, but also in Him alone. And that's what you find in verse 24. In God alone, faithful is He that calleth you. How did this epistle begin? God called us by the word of God out of darkness into His marvelous light. God called us into salvation grace. God called us into the ministry. God called us into married life. God called us into working life, into school life. Every area of our life is part and parcel of God's calling. It has many facets. And God says, I am faithful. That means I am trustworthy. I will not play you out. I will not deceive you. Whatever I have promised you in my holy word, I will keep it. The question is, do my children have the faith to believe in what I have promised them that I will do? God promised us, I will keep you holy completely. No area of your life. All you need is to submit and obey. That's what is required. If you want to rebel, then you are despising God's word. And hence, you'll be despising Him. Because you cannot separate the word and God. That was what God said to King David after he disobeyed Him by committing the sin of adultery with Bathsheba. God sent Nathan to rebuke him in no uncertain terms. Why did you despise the commandment of the Lord by committing adultery and taking the life of Bathsheba's husband to cover up your sin of adultery? Do you not know that you have also despised me? That's what God said. When you despise God's word, you are despising God. You cannot separate the word of God that you have in your hand, that you have hidden in your heart, and not obey it. It is equivalent to despising Him. That's a very strong word. When you do not trust God, because that's exactly what it is. When God tells us, I will keep you holy. I will preserve you in a state of holiness until the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do not believe Him, you are basically telling God in the face like a sinner who rejects the gospel. A person who rejects the gospel is as good as telling God, God, you have wasted Jesus Christ on me. I can find my own way to heaven. I can save myself. I do not need you. Do you know that that's exactly the message a rejecter of the gospel is sending back to God? You tell him that God loved him, right? You tell him that. And how much did God love us? By sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And then the person says, no, thank you. I don't need God's love and I don't need Christ. That kind of rejection is equivalent to despising God. And we do the same because that word despise was used by God to address David. A man after God's own heart, not an unbeliever. God's children. Why did God say those words to David? Because that's exactly the truth. And David was king. What he did had given ammunition to the enemies of God. You see, your servant, a man after God's own heart, look at what he did. Look at what he did. Because that's the charge that God leveled against David. If you look at that chapter in 2 Samuel. Those are very strong words. You gave ammunition to the enemies of God by your transgression, David. Do you not know that? Satan will use what you have done against God. Don't let that happen. Don't let the enemies of God who are surrounding us use us as a justification to say that God's grace and God's mercies, they are wasted on us. They are not. God has promised us, I am faithful. He that calleth us, He also will do it. Do what? Keep us faithful. Preserve us unto the day of the second coming of Christ. And I pray that this experience that you have in this camp will continue and continue and continue. That it will not only continue, it will increase in strength and intensity. Not slide and decrease and not remain at par, but your love and your devotion to Him will increase in intensity. For many of us who have been married, if you love your spouse, if you love each other very much because you love God very much, you have to understand what it means. Because the love that you have for one another will grow. The closer you are to God, the closer you are to one another. You think that this year or last year, your love for your spouse is so great. But then you never realize that when the next year comes, it is greater than the year before. There is no limit to the intensity and the depth of our relationship with God. And the deeper, the stronger that is, the deeper, the stronger that you will have with one another. And every area of your life will be sanctified wholly, completely by God. God promised He will do it. The question is, do you believe that He will do it? Don't fight against the prompting and the still small voice of the Spirit of God in your life. Day by day. Day by day. How to make sure? Because it is not only for the Christians in Thessalonica, but for all believers. That's why the Apostle Paul told them, send this epistle, make sure that it is read unto all the holy brethren. Everybody should read it. It is not only for you guys in the city of Thessalonica. Make a copy of it, send the original to other cities where other churches are founded. And this letter has been traveling all over the world. Europe, America, Britain, China, and now into Southeast Asia. We call it the Bible. Send it all over the world. And what did Paul say? Pray for us, brethren. This is how I cannot fail. That's what Paul says, right? Pray for us. Remember what Paul said to them? We are facing intense persecution. We could not come to you. We are in Athens. We sent Timothy to you. And thank God Timothy brought back a good report. And the good report was that you are all remaining in the faith, even in the face of intense persecution. And because you are strong in the faith, in the face of persecution, you have made the persecution and the sufferings we have to endure worth it all. And what they did, encourage and strengthen the Apostle Paul. And now Paul asked them, please pray for us. Imagine the great Apostle Paul asking his spiritual children, pray for us. He didn't say pray with us. Of course, Paul himself will surely pray. But he specifically mentioned, pray for us. We need your prayer just as much as you need our prayers. Because that's how I will be sustained. And that's how you will be sustained. That's how each other, all of us, will be sustained. And I pray and hope that throughout this camp, there will be one, at least one, promise you will make to God. Try to attend the midweek prayer meeting. Please, pray for us. That's how important it is. As the head of the home, please understand that it is your responsibility to represent your family, to come and pray at the church prayer meeting. For the rest of the church family, if your parents are not believers, you are the only believer, then you come and also intercede for your family who are not believers, that we will also pray together with you. Because that's how God will sanctify me wholly and preserve me. That's how I will be able to trust in Him. Because I know you are praying for me. We all need this. Prayer is real. God hears. He sees. He knows. It is real. Don't doubt Him. And that's why we pray. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. That means this is their culture. Love one another. Care for one another sincerely, genuinely. And I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. Send this message far and wide to everyone who will listen. Let them know how important and needful it is for holiness to be found in the lives of all of God's children before God Almighty. You know that many of our members did not come for this camp. Some wanted to, but circumstances did not allow them. Share with them what you have experienced and let them know the blessings and the encouragement that each and every life of a Christian can have in the impact of the lives of the people around us for eternity, for Jesus' sake, for Christ's sake. For there is no higher honor God could ever give to us than what He has already given to us. For God, the third person of the Holy Spirit, to indwell us, and then to walk around on this earth while there is still life in this mortal flesh, a walking testimony of the great work of God, that by our good works, they will see Christ in us, and then they will see the glory of God, because they will glorify Him because of the great work that God continues to do in our lives for His witness, for His glory, for the saving of souls, for the mutual encouragement and the strengthening and the building up of the faith of like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ. Love the church by loving one another, because you are the church, not 201 Pandan Gardens. That's the building. When we are gone, that is just a building. The church is always the people. Never forget that. We are here to make use of the building, to avail the environment that the building provides, for us to have good Christian fellowship, to study God's word, for worship. That's it. The focus is always people, not the physical building. Can I pray that you will realize and understand how much we need one another to keep walking the life of holiness that God desires for all of us. And I hope that you will desire that for your neighbors, for your brothers and sisters in Christ, for one another. Do not allow the world to succeed in luring you back into the world. That was what we have been delivered from when we accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. And now that we have been taken out of it, do not be like what the Bible described, a dog who will go back to its own vomit. Do not allow that picture of how a swine, that you would put all kinds of pearls and jewels and bathe the swine, and the next moment you turn around, the swine is back into its filth. We are not like that. The sanctification of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and in my life is eternal. It's permanent, for it is the work of God. And God did not stop there. God says, I want to continue to make sure that the practical aspect of your holiness is maintained and sustained. And I will do it all. All I need from my children is that they trust me. Will you trust Him? That He will give you all the strength you need, whatever circumstance you may be in, it will never be stronger that will cause God to be unfaithful to any one of us. He says, I called you, I saved you, I put you here on earth, I will do it. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, increase our faith, O Lord, to know that we have a God who always keeps His word, for He is a faithful God, and He has promised us that He will do it. And what will He do? He will sanctify us wholly, and He will preserve us unto the day when the Lord Jesus Christ will return to take us all home to glory. And we pray, Father, that You will help us to trust in Thee and to know that this life of holiness is the norm for all of God's children. And we also know that this life of holiness will come under assault and attack by the world and by the evil one. Help us therefore, O Lord, to be kept holy and faithful in trusting Thee, and with much prayer all the time, praying for ourselves and for one another, that every one of us may remain faithful and holy, living a life of holiness before God and before man, even unto the day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in the clouds of glory, to bring us all home unto Thyself. Thank You, Father, for this camp that You have blessed us with. And as many of us will be making our way back to Singapore and others to some other parts, perhaps of Malaysia, may Thou be gracious and merciful to go ahead of all of us and make smooth pathways for us and bring us all safely back to our respective places of service. We pray, Father, for some who may still be unwell. May they be very gracious and merciful to touch and restore each and every one of them to full health. And through it, may their faith and trust indeed be deepened and strengthened, and to know that indeed Thou art the one living and true God, and beside Thee there is none other. For Thy eyes are always beholding Your children, and Your ears are always inclined to hear the cry of all Your children, and Your hands are never too short that they will not come to our help in time of need. Bless us, O Lord, with the blessings of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and keep us all holy, even unto the day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. For this we ask with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen.